What's up, Eagle Country? Thank you for tuning in to another edition of Crunch Time here on your hometown radio station, Eagle Country 99.3, 30 minutes of nonstop sports conversation. I am your host, Double T Travis, there. Monday, June 28th, and Crunch Time is presented by OrthoCincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries. Go online to schedule your next appointment or learn more at OrthoCincy.com. That is OrthoCincy.com. Lots to get to on the show this evening, so we are going to jump right into it and see who is making headlines. Now, this first headline that we are going to talk about, not one that I wish we were talking about, because it's very, very unfortunate news that was shared last week. By now, a lot of you sports fans out there, or just in general, anybody out there in Eagle Country, have probably heard about Brady Gabbard and his diagnosis. But we do want to send some positive vibes toward Brady and his family. Of course, the 14-year-old from Lawrenceburg, he plays on the Tigers football team, recently diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. There's no way to put into words the emotions behind receiving such news. We just want to say that our hearts go out to Brady and his family, as he did start treatment over the weekend. We got some more information about that on our website, EagleCountryOnline.com. But even with the terrible news about the cancer diagnosis, the community response has been nothing short of incredible. A family friend launching a GoFundMe page at the end of last week to assist the Gabbard family with medical expenses. Within 24 hours of the GoFundMe being launched, close to $20,000 was donated, far surpassing the original $10,000 goal. And today, the fundraising total is closer to $50,000. Again, that just goes to show you what type of community we have right here. And another reason I love living in a small town, because it seems like in a small town, people are a little quicker to rally behind someone that is in a tough situation. We are definitely seeing that here in Eagle Country. So the GoFundMe page is still active. If you haven't donated, if you got a few bucks to spare, you can certainly find the link over at EagleCountryOnline.com. Another couple things that we wanted to mention along lines with the fundraising, Kensington Harrison, a friend of Brady, she actually designed a t-shirt and has partnered with Ohio Valley Screen Printing to do an online sale. Half of those proceeds will go to Brady and his family. So if you want to learn a little bit more about that, we have that on our website as well. And Logan Lawrence and Lawrence Motorsports, Logan made the announcement on Facebook, but Lawrence Motorsports in Aurora, they are giving away an Oakwood chest. And they are accepting donations right now. 100% of the proceeds will go towards the Gabbard family as well. So you can stop by their store on US 50 in Aurora. And again, more information on our website. And earlier today, I had the opportunity to catch up with Lawrenceburg head coach Ryan Kniga to talk about Brady's situation, how his team is kind of handling that news, and of course, to get his reaction about the great community support that has been shown in the recent days.
Talked to the team last Thursday before we went on break. And, I think at first it was kind of a shock to their system. They didn't know how to really handle the conversation as far as the information being presented. But I think once we took a step back and, we were able to have some open discussion for a few minutes before we sent them on their way for moratorium, I think they realized what was going on. And I think they also knew that, hey, they were going to be a good teammate and be there for Brady and his family in any way possible. And then with everything going on after that, the GoFundMe, the shirts, the stickers, there's just been a tremendous amount of support, not only from our community, but the surrounding communities, and as well across the state. So I know that change the situation that we're in, but it will definitely help and maybe put a smile on their face and help with some things that they need help with. But I think our team's handling it the best that they can. It's kind of a strange time for us because, as I said, we're on moratorium, so there's no activities for us. So mm-hmm. Kids are on vacation. Kids are doing what they need to do. There's no activities on campus. So it's kind of a unique time to really maybe have a pulse on how they're actually handling it. But, we told them they could reach out to us, and there's a lot of avenues that they can go to get information if they need it. And the school's doing a great job. There's obviously school counselors that they could work with as well if needed. But, we're going to get more information on this, and hopefully we can get Brady back to Lawrenceburg here in the next couple of days and have a better pulse on the situation.
So that is definitely not an easy topic to move on from, but a few more things that we want to get to on Crunch Time. It is presented by OrthoCincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Next up, we got to talk about Lawrenceburg High School football star Ashton Craig. Big news over the weekend as he committed to the University of Notre Dame. There were a litany of schools that were vying for Ashton's services, but one obviously standing out among the rest. Now, if you aren't familiar with Ashton, you should probably get familiar. 6'5", 283-pound offensive tackle. Also plays some defensive end for Coach Ryan Kaniga's Lawrenceburg Tigers. But the verbal commitment to the University of Notre Dame on Saturday, it was Tom Loy of 24/7 Sports that broke the story after Ashton received a scholarship offer just last week from Notre Dame. Real quick on 24/7 Sports, if you don't follow them, if you like football, basketball, recruiting, anything like that at the collegiate level, you got to follow 24/7 Sports. I have been doing so for many of years. They do a fantastic job with their recruiting coverage and even providing the crystal ball predictions of where some of these young men and women are going to commit. Whether it's whatever sport it is going to be. But 24/7 Sports does a fantastic job. But anyways, Ashton Craig taking an official visit to Notre Dame this past Friday. Didn't take him very long to decide that that's where he wants to spend the next 3 to 4 years after his high school career. Now, Ashton, a three-star prospect, was being courted by the likes of Michigan. I know he took some visits to Northwestern and Nebraska. Cincinnati was on the list of teams that had offered a scholarship, among many others. But Notre Dame, that name just seems to hit a little bit harder, to use a phrase the youngsters use nowadays. Let's go back to Coach Ryan Kaniga to get his thoughts on Ashton's verbal commitment to Notre Dame.
When our staff took over in 2011, I could honestly say I never thought that we'd have a player committing to Notre Dame to play football. There was a chance we might have sent a few there for academics,
yeah.
But just never really dreamed of that. And, you get into this business to help kids and provide a great opportunity for them on the field. And at some point you hope that, hey, maybe we can get some kids to go to college and use football as a tool to provide that experience for them and also alleviate some of the financial burden of paying for a college education. But, that's one of our goals as coaches is if we can provide a great experience for our kids and then use football as a tool to do that, we feel, that's a great asset of our program to be able to do that. But to answer your question, no, it was a shock for us, but obviously we're very excited for Ashton and his family, and it'll be neat to be able to flip on the TV, and as you said, it's a prestigious university and one of the most dominant football programs in the country year in and year out, and they're always on TV, so it'll be neat to be able to see a kid from Lawrenceburg run out of the Golden Dome.
But Notre Dame, obviously one of the most prestigious college football programs in the history of the sport, and in particular as an offensive line prospect, there may not be a better place to develop than in South Bend. Ashton will join the current number two recruiting class in the nation for 2022. Ohio State currently has the number one recruiting class. Those standings fluctuate a ton based on the different commitments that these schools get. But it seems that Notre Dame pumps out some of the best offensive line in the country on a yearly basis. Many of them make it to the NFL and have some really great careers. I kind of want to take a look at that right now. Currently, 12 former Notre Dame offensive linemen starring for NFL teams. You might have heard of a few of these players. I know Indianapolis Colts fans know all about Quentin Nelson. He may be the best offensive lineman in the entire sport. Zach Martin, he would certainly like to put his name in the best offensive lineman. Been doing a really great job for the Dallas Cowboys for several years. And then Bengals fans will know Ronnie Stanley, the standout tackle that plays for the Baltimore Ravens. But if you look at those three individuals right there, they are highly regarded among the best at their positions. More recently, Liam Eichenberg was drafted by the Miami Dolphins in the first round. He was maybe on the radar of the Cincinnati Bengals. A lot of people expect him to be a very good pro and maybe be the next Notre Dame prospect to earn a monster contract in the NFL. Speaking of which, Ronnie Stanley, he's on a 5-year, $98 million deal. Quentin Nelson, 4 years, $23 million. That's going to go up substantially here in the coming years. And Zach Martin, a 6-year, $84 million contract. And to go back to Nelson, I will tell you right now, he will be the highest paid guard in the league when he gets a new contract. But I know we're maybe getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. Ashton Craig, he's still got his senior season of high school football to play at Lawrenceburg. So the pros could be a little bit of a ways off for Ashton. But again, when you go to a school like Notre Dame, the thought has to creep into your mind that I have an opportunity to work myself into being a prospect that can one day be drafted or land on an NFL team.
Yeah, there's no doubt that's obviously a goal. The first goal for him and for his family and us and is for him to get an education. Mm-hmm. I know it's cliche. People say, oh, you're not making a 4-year decision. You're making a 40-year decision, which is obviously very true. But, you know, when you go to a university such as Notre Dame and they're recruiting you as an offensive lineman, they think you're good enough to play at that level. Sure, that's something that crosses your mind. Can this kid play in the NFL? Can he go to Notre Dame and play and help them win games and championships and in 4 years or 3 years be one of those guys that they're talking about on ESPN as a high draft pick or a lineman that gets drafted? So, yeah, that's not off the table. We've had that discussion. And as I've told Ashton, it's not my job to tell him that he can't play somewhere, or it's nobody else's job to tell him he can't. The only thing that matters is Notre Dame thinks that you can play there. They don't have to offer you. I mean, right. they offer who they think they can play. They're not in the position where they just got to go try to find somebody to fill a spot. So yeah, that's been a discussion that we've had. And you know what? If that's the end game result, man, that would be the second player to play in the NFL from Lawrenceburg after Chris Green. So those guys just don't pop out of the school every year. So if that happens, I'm sure that's going to be a great opportunity for him, his family, and, you know, also be a great thing for Lawrenceburg Community Schools as well.
And going to Notre Dame, I think, puts him on the right track for success, specifically at the professional level, considering their track record with linemen. And that news story that Tom Loy broke from 24/7 Sports, he did mention that Notre Dame will likely move Craig to center. Now, he certainly has the athleticism to play across the entire offensive line, whether it's guard, tackle, or center. I would think that he has some good ball handling skills from playing basketball. His footwork is tremendous. Side to side is great if you've watched him play basketball. Not a lot of guards can get around him trying to take him to the basket. So that's just another way that you can see how athletic that Ashton is. And I tell you what, a move to center might be in the best interest for not only Ashton, but the overall success of Notre Dame. Starting to look at their recruiting classes that they have coming in the 2022 class that features Craig, they have commitments from a pair of 4-star offensive tackles in Tyson Ford out of the St. Louis area and Joey Tonona, who is from Zionsville, Indiana. They also have 2 4-star tackles in their incoming freshman class, including Blake Fisher. He's out of Avon, Indiana, ranked the 8th best tackle in the class. So they already have kind of stockpiled some of those tackles. The position that Ashton currently plays at Lawrenceburg, but by moving him over to center, maybe it paves a way for him to get some earlier playing time, maybe not as many individuals to compete with to play at that position. Obviously, Notre Dame is recruiting interior linemen as well, so there's going to be competition one way or another, but currently Notre Dame has a junior in Zeke Correll as a starting center. They do have a freshman that will serve as the backup this year in Pat Coogan. But for Ashton Craig, no matter what position he ends up playing for Notre Dame, the whole goal is going to be cracking that rotation, moving his way up to being a starter, and hopefully propelling himself into being an NFL prospect. I think that's every young kid's dream that plays a certain sport. They want to make it to the pros. It's very difficult to do. Not everyone's going to get a chance to do that, but Ashton going to Notre Dame certainly going to give himself a chance to be an NFL prospect down the line. A couple things that I'm really looking forward to. He's already a grown man, being a soon-to-be senior in high school. If you've ever stood next to him, he's humongous. His legs look like tree trunks. He moves like a deer. He's a fantastic prospect. I would not be surprised to see him get a fourth star during his senior season. Stars won't really matter when it comes to being a pro. Sometimes you got five-star athletes that are busts, three stars that are diamonds in the rough and turn into be great players. So the stars don't really matter. It's just another accolade that he can throw out there. I'd be interested to hear if he even cares about the star status. But anyways, what I'm trying to say is, when he gets into a college program, they already have a great athletic training program at Lawrenceburg. DeMarco Henry is doing a great job over there getting these kids ready to play, being physically fit. But when he gets into this college program at Notre Dame, what he is going to look like a couple years from now is going to be quite amazing. I hope that there's a side-by-side shot of what he looks like when he enters as a freshman and what he looks like maybe going into his junior season, because I think you're going to be absolutely wild by what he's going to look like being in a strength and conditioning program of the likes of Notre Dame. Another thing that I think is maybe undervalued or maybe not so much talked about in high school football recruiting is that he's going to Notre Dame. This is a fantastic institution of higher learning. So no matter what, hey, Ashton wants to go pro. If he's able to do that, that's going to be awesome. But at the very least, he is going to have a tremendous education to fall back on. Notre Dame amongst the tops out there in the entire country. So I think this is a win-win situation all around for Ashton. Not only that, he gets to stay in the state of Indiana. It's going to make it a little bit easier for friends and family to go see him play eventually in South Bend. I think it's awesome. I just want to say congratulations to Ashton and his family. They got to be on cloud nine right now with this commitment, and just going to throw this out there too. I follow college football recruiting very closely, and I'm sure Ashton is very happy with the Notre Dame commitment, but nothing is 100% until you sign on the dotted line. I would imagine there's going to be some other schools coming after Ashton to try to flip him in the coming months before they get to the national signing day for him to put his name on the line saying, I'm going to Notre Dame. So there's still some very, very prestigious football schools that maybe come calling. It'll be interesting to see if that does indeed happen down the line. But Notre Dame, a fantastic choice, a prestigious school, not only in terms of football, but education as well. And for one final thought on Ashton Craig, we'll turn back to Coach Ryan Caniga to talk a little bit about Ashton's work ethic and what Notre Dame is getting out of Ashton Craig.
But, you know, I think what Notre Dame's getting is they're going to get a young man that's going to come and work. And that's what Ashton's done since day one. He's been in our program. I mean, when he was a sophomore, he was 6'2", 220, 230. Mm-hmm. And then over COVID, obviously hit a growth spurt and bulked up. And he's a kid that grinds daily. He's a kid that works for everything. Again, not only in the not only on the football field, but in the classroom, people got to understand you also got to be academically eligible and meet academic criteria to get into Notre Dame. That's no that's not a slouch right there. You got to have great credentials to be able to pull that off. But they're getting a great kid. They're getting a great family. I know he's excited about it, and he's excited about the opportunity. So he's going to go there. He's going to work hard, and we'll see how that plays out for him.
You're listening to Crunch Time, presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Dr. Ron Auer, Dr. Brian Whistle, and Dr. Roman Tremba, conveniently located right here in Lawrenceburg, so it's easy to find the orthopedic specialist you need. More info at orthosensi.com. Some real interesting news in girls' high school basketball, of course, with some local relevance. You might remember the name Brooke Todd, a standout player at Switzerland County High School. It was actually 6 years ago that she led the Lady Pacers to a regional championship, and she is going to be returning home to head up the girls' varsity basketball program. She just graduated from Hanover College about a year ago and played 4 years there at Hanover, was a starter for 4 years, a really, really good guard, great ball handling skills, vision, can shoot and score as well. I remember when I started calling games here at Eagle Country 99.3, that was in the midst of the dominance of the Switzerland County Lady Pacers at the Rivertown Classic. Once Brooke graduated, the dominance kind of shifted to the Lawrenceburg Lady Tigers, but there was a good four-year period there where at that particular tournament, nobody was going to beat Switzerland County because she was just that good. Of course, had some great teammates as well, and you would think that she is going to be the youngest coach in the history of the Lady Pacers girls basketball program. That is not the case, maybe the second youngest. Behind her former coach, Ashley Kitts. Todd, yes, playing for Kitts for five seasons, one in middle school and then all 4 years in high school. Kitts actually took over the Lady Pacers head coaching job in a similar fashion that Todd is going to, and was there for 5 years coaching the team and doing a pretty good job, obviously, with those Rivertown Classic Championships and the regional championship as well. Kitts, of course, resigned 5 years ago to focus on administration, turning over the job to Mark Boggs, who has done a fantastic job over the last four seasons. He has really brought this team along. Each and every year they have improved. Last year winning 18 games, they will bring back twin sisters Jessie and Maddie Duvall. They also have a front court pair in Nora Hankins and Hannah Hayes, who have a lot of varsity experience. So Todd's going to be inheriting a very, very good team, very talented team that won a lot of games last season. So she's coming into this situation in a good place, having a lot of great talent that has varsity experience. They should be able to pick up her offense and defensive schemes very quickly, you would think. So this is really neat to see. I think it's a really, really cool story to see a former hometown star player come back to her alma mater to coach the girls basketball team. I think this is going to be really neat to see how she does over the next several years. And hopefully Brooke Todd's able to make this a job that she has for a long, long time, win a lot of championships, win a lot of games, and help the young ladies grow as individuals as well, because as we've seen, that is definitely a part of coaching, specifically at the high school level and at the youth levels overall. So congratulations to Brooke Todd. Welcome back to high school basketball in southeastern Indiana. I'm sure you're going to be welcomed with open arms at Switzerland County High School, and we will definitely see you out at the Rivertown Classic in January. While we're talking girls hoops over the weekend, the Trojan Shootout taking place out in St. Leon, a little bit of a condensed Trojan Shootout, maybe not as many teams as they would have had there in a normal circumstance, but anyways, a good opportunity for a lot of teams throughout Indiana and Ohio to get out and compete in the summer months, try to get better, not only as individuals, but as a team too. And the East Central Lady Trojans, they have been phenomenal here in recent memory, and Kevin Moore, their coach, has done a fantastic job with that program. Back-to-back sectional champions. They have their two best players returning in Josie Trable and Hope Fox. Plenty of other role players that are going to step into a larger role this year. Among them, Lainey Baker, Julia Tiemann, Ashley Nobby. These are young ladies that played some big varsity minutes last year and made some big plays for the team as well. I'm sure their roles will be expanded. They'll be asked to do a little bit more this season as the Trojans will be replacing four seniors. Kyla Maxwell and Charson McCory, very, very good players, as was Emma Ertl. Natalie Schnell doing some good things for the team as well. But this East Central team at the Trojan Shootout ended up finishing as the runner-up. Indianapolis Homeschool, the eventual champion there in the varsity division. Ron Colley won the JV division, but East Central finishing as the runner-up in the JV and third place in the JV2. So it just goes to show you the talent level that is there at East Central High School. And that was a fun tournament that they had there. I know Franklin County and Greensburg, a couple area teams, were able to compete at that particular shootout, and I've had a lot of fun kind of following along with these shootouts over the summer months. Lawrenceburg and EC's boys programs have had one previously, and I think it's just a neat idea to get a bunch of teams together, play a bunch of games, and enjoy some basketball in the summer months. This is a time for all of these players to get better, like I said, individually and as a team. So congrats to the East Central girls basketball team on finishing as the runner-up at their own shootout. I know they would have liked to have been the champion, but that is just another thing that they can use as a motivating factor going into the 2021 season. All right, let's move on to the final segment of the show. It's Crunch Time, presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, OrthoSensi.com. Time for Double T's Takes, and this is where I like to talk a little Reds, Bengals, FC Cincinnati, talk a little bit about the pro teams here in the Queen City area. And FC Cincinnati, finally some positive things to talk about. The team has won two matches in a row and three road matches in a row. It's not the first time that they've won back-to-back matches in their MLS history, a short history, but wins have been tough to come by the first 3 years for FC Cincinnati, and finding a foundation and chemistry has been something that has been lacking as well. There's been a lot of roster turnover over the first 3 years. They've had as many coaches as they have had seasons in the MLS, and finally it looks like things are starting to click a little bit. It's still not perfect. There's still a lot to work on, so as a fan base, can't really get too excited as of right now, but certainly should celebrate when the team wins and gets points, because at that point, you're just looking for something to criticize if you can't be happy that your favorite team won the match. That's something I'm seeing on social media. I'm not pointing you out in particular as the listeners out there, but two straight road wins, a 1-0 win over Chicago on Wednesday. They did get bailed out at the end of the game. Chicago had an equalizer in stoppage time. It was called off due to video review. They turn around on Saturday, defeat Toronto 2-0. They dominated both matches, probably could have scored more than they did, but the more important thing to see is that FC Cincinnati did not give up a goal over a two-game span. They still have a -8 goal differential, so it goes to show you that the defense is still a work in progress. Now, they beat two teams that currently stand at the bottom of the Eastern Conference standings. FC Cincinnati was there in 14th place and last in the East, but they jumped three teams this week with those two wins into 11th place. Two of the teams they beat, Toronto and Chicago, are two of the worst teams right now in the MLS. So again, maybe don't get too excited. I have to tell myself this too, about the wins, because it doesn't mean that FC Cincinnati is all of a sudden going to be a big-time playoff contender and push to be an MLS Cup champion. I don't think they're quite there right now. They do have a more talented team this season than they have in their previous two seasons in the MLS, and things are starting to gel a little bit more for them under Coach Jaap Stam. They're still trying to play the way he wants them to play, build that chemistry, and have that quality in front of the goal finishing a little bit more often. They've certainly had more chances in recent matches to put the ball in the back of the net, and it's slowly but surely coming along. Now, FC Cincinnati just played three matches in 8 days. They're going to be really, really dog-tired after those three matches. They'll turn around and play Houston on Saturday on the road, looking for their fourth consecutive road victory. That would be quite the statement from this team if they could go out and get a third consecutive win overall and vault themselves in the standings. It's still very, very early to talk about that playoff picture. I don't expect FC Cincinnati to finish as a playoff team. I certainly want them to. And right now they're in a pretty good spot. They are only 3 points off of the playoff line. You get seven teams in the playoffs from each conference in an MLS season. And FC Cincinnati in 11th is only 3 points behind New York Red Bulls, DC, and Montreal, who are tied for that seventh spot. Red Bulls getting that based on goal differential, but FC Cincinnati has also played one or two less games than every team in the conference. Everybody else has played 10 or 11 games. FC Cincinnati's only played 9, so that's having a game in hand and two games in hand over some teams. So if they can steal some points over their next couple of games, you'll really start to see them potentially jump over some more teams and inch themselves up the standings. And really, my big take today is about the fan base overall. Just looking at stuff on social media, a lot of Twitter posts, things like that, I see random fans talking about the style of play, comparing one game to another. If FC Cincinnati plays like they did against this team, they would lose if they played like that against this team over there. And I don't have the time or energy to think like that. The team just won two games in a row, and they have not been able to do that very often in their short MLS tenure. So I'm going to celebrate the wins. I don't care how they get them in any sport. My favorite team wins a game. I don't care how they did it. Winning is winning. Simply put, I'm glad to see FC Cincinnati be in the win column two games in a row. Hope they keep it up against Houston this Saturday, and then they welcome in Columbus for the Hell is Real Derby on Friday, July 9th. That is going to be an electric atmosphere at the West End Stadium.